Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air.
Lights and Shadows, assessment of the UN COP14 on biological diversity. With certain advances in the recognition of the role of indigenous people and local communities in terms of the conservation of biological diversity, the 14th Conference of the Parties to the UN Convention on Biological Diversity came to an end in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. Nevertheless, some environmental organizations are worried about the role of corporations in the official talks on issues such as synthetic biology and gene drives. While some corporate media announced yesterday that the COP14 ended with an ambitious roadmap for the next 2 years, with a new biodiversity agreement to be presented in China in 2020 during the COP15, other voices were heard at Sharm el-Sheikh with a responsible and critical view. This is the case, for instance, of environmental activist Nelle Marian, coordinator of Friends of the Earth International's Forest and Biodiversity Program, who was interviewed for Real World Radio by our colleague Fiona Broom.
So Nelle, can you tell us about some of the highlights of the conference this week?
Yes, we were here in the conference, the 14th conference of the parties on the biological diversity. And a good thing is that in this convention, there's quite some attention toward indigenous peoples and local communities. And now also, since this COP, we have the approval of the terminology ICA, which is the Indigenous Conservation Community Areas, or now they have actually, they like to call themselves territories of lives. So what it really is about is the communities which do conservation within their own lands, which can be forest or other kind of ecosystems. And now we have a recognition of this term, which is very similar to what in Friends of the Earth we call community forest management. So basically we get a recognition of that, and we get a recognition of what is, again, stupid terminology, it's called other effective-based conservation measures, and it what it refers to is areas that are not officially protected areas, but that are really biodiversity-rich areas, conserved ecosystems, and most of them are really the ones which are being managed by indigenous people. So to have a recognition of this as being as important as protected areas is really, really important, because quite often protected areas take actually the governance away from indigenous peoples, and now we get a recognition that the governance by indigenous peoples is important for the conservation of biodiversity. So I would think that is really a first highlight. Another one is that in this COP we have now an approval of a text on conflict of interest. There was quite some trouble because corporations are being more and more active in the convention and wanting to push parties to do things and wanting to be present in advisory bodies and things like that. So there was a real problem with that. And though the new text on conflict of interest is by far not going far enough, yet we are happy that it is there and that conflict of interest is identified as a problem, and there are some first steps to deal with it. Especially, it needs people who need to be on, who will be on a scientific body, will now need to declare if they have some kind of conflicting interest, and we have an awareness on the fact that there are interests which are really not compatible with biodiversity conservation. So these are really, for me, the big highlights of these two weeks.
And were there any developments that we were disappointed with?
Well, in general, I would say the low lights is how we see how corporations are really pushing through at the different levels. We have seen a huge corporate influence in synthetic biology, gene drives, and digital sequence information. I know I'm using horribly difficult terms, but what it refers to is real, real advanced forms of GMOs, of transgenics, but horridly advanced ones, and they didn't want any kind of regulation on them, and so we didn't get as far as the regulation as we would have wanted, but we got some recognition of some kind of precautionary principle, and we got the fact that if there should be a release of gene drives which can actually exterminate complete species or can alter complete species, if there would be ever an intent to release such a species that would be altered, it would need to be approved by free, prior and informed consent of indigenous peoples. So it's not good enough, but at least there's some things we can say that's okay. You asked me about the low points. It's really seeing how big the influence of corporations is. We also saw this specifically, the Swiss delegation who was just completely blocking any idea of the sharing of benefits of plants that exist in, for example, the Amazon, but it can be in other areas, where the Swiss, they really, what their interest is to protect their big pharma industry, and so they were just completely blocking the text. Again, happily enough, there is some kind of recognition that there needs to be more work on this. So we are looking forward to having regulation, hopefully, in next COPs on this element.
Are there any other parties that we think could be doing better with regards to the convention?
Oh, most of them. Yeah, basically, I would say almost all parties should really do more. We have seen that over the last 8 years we have been under the implementation of the Aichi targets, which means there were targets from 2010 till 2020. We really were supposed to have big advancements on how we would solve the biodiversity crisis. And when we look into what has been happening in this period, really nothing has happened except for a few small advances, but in many areas actually things have gotten worse, as we all know, and that is just a lack of implementation by most of the countries. And a very important information which was given here by one of the ministers who was present, who said, like, well, there's at least 160 times more investment in destructive sectors than in investment in biodiversity saving. So, of course, how can we think that the convention makes a real progress if there's so much investment in destruction of biodiversity? So I talked to you about the non-implementation of the strategic plan 2010-2020. And now what we are seeing is we are starting a process to build the new strategic plan, which would be from 2020 to probably 2030. And so now we just got the approval of how the process will work, whereby we see that everybody's calling for a real participatory and inclusive process, even though in the small letters and in the details we have some fears that this might not be true. Yet, as Friends of the Earth and together with all the allies here, we are really pressing for this process to be really participatory, and we are working together to bring in all the demands which we have for social justice, for having a good economy that is actually respecting of planetary boundaries, for having inclusion of indigenous peoples and local communities, for having inclusion of agroecology, for all the kind of demands which we normally have and which we know are important for saving nature. We are bringing them together now, and we will want to bring this into the process for the post-2020 objectives. So we are really hoping to work together with all our allies in the next 2 years to have a very strong voice and to show, if they want to come up with proposals that are really not going to change the world, we will have a strong voice telling what really should be done.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by Fowai.